Blog Talk Radio.
I'm all about the good things that grow on the trees. I wanna see the people in a harmony. I'm all about creation, creating energy. Life's a blessing, the world is stretching. For things you go through, there's a lesson. Play the rules, choose our profession. If I tell you, there is no rejection. Take a sip from the cup of life. Drink a nice hot juice. But I'll be better fast. A walk on a beach, a walk on a mountainside. Come to the sea, a peaceful life. All about people, I just know every day. All about giving God some praise. I love to see the blessing of the human race. Don't wanna walk, don't wanna ride away. I'm all about the stopping and planting a tree. I'm all about the good things that grow on the street. I told the people in a one harmony. I'm all about creation, creation energy. When the rain falls in the spring, oh, what a blessing it brings. The flowers bloom, trees turn green, in everything I feel one dream. Seeing the people working outside, everyone with a smile, anyone.
Greetings and blessings, blessings and greetings, blessings. So that was Joseph Israel with All About. He's a musician that when you hear his music, you want to know what's it all about. And tonight's show, Soul Talk, which is our 16th class and part two of a continuing series on Hebrew Israelite meditation, how to bring about soulful revelation rooted in the teachings of Rambam in the foundations of Torah and amplified from the perspective of inner dimensions of Torah by the Mitla Rebbe, the second Admor of Chabad Hasidut, who lived from 1773 until he ascended to the next level of life, 1827. You know, Bistos Soul Class, again, is an acronym for S7O, oldest original, U, universal, or L, laws, which is alluding to and directly instructing us, all as human beings, the seven following commandments were originally given to Noah and his ancestors, and his descendants, that is, not to blaspheme the name of the Most High with the name of the Most High, not to serve idols, not to kill, not to steal, not to be involved in acts of adultery, sexual immorality, not to eat a limb of an animal while it's still alive, and to promote positive statutes and laws in society for all humanity, that there should be justice in the land. One of the ways of ensuring justice in the land is to bring about charity. I just, you know, before I went on the show, I just got a kind of a heart-wrenching email. We actually was instant mailing me from Ghana, and this young man Ephraim Shaw was a friend in Facebook. That's Ephraim, and then Shaul, Shaul. Shaul was telling me about he's working in an orphanage and the money's tight. So hopefully, if I can get more information about that, I'll pass it on to Blessed Souls and an address that you can send it to. In the future, hopefully maybe later on this week, we can do so and help those children who are refugees from Liberia now living in West Africa, Ghana. And that being said, blessed souls, let us now go back to this seminal work by the Mitla Rebbe, which is known as Shari Yuchud, the gateway, which is the gate of unification. And at the beginning, the first page of the book. Oh, we have a caller coming. Let's see what's going on. Let's go. I think it's a good friend, David S.
David, yes, how are you? Yeah.
Shalom aleichem. Listen, I was just telling the blessed listeners out there, brief the seven Noahic commandments. But what's important, David S., is that, you know, when we tell the inhabitants of the world not to serve idols, you know, and not to blaspheme the Most High with his name,
So I said, man, we've got to give them an alternative. Connect to the Most High in a positive way. And his bonus, meditation, inner understanding, is, you know, a fundamental way. In fact, the Rambam, the mighty Rambam, was over 800 years ago, saw that specifically this is a way to love and fear him and to really develop that inner connection. You know, so let's go now to the, with the Most High. Let's go into now that Shara Blot, the first page of Shara Yuchud by the Mittler Rebbe. And we were, last time we were talking about this whole idea that any person that the Most High is grace. Chime in with me, David. Why is it important for every human being to know that they've been graced by the Most High, the sensitivity and the knowledge to perceive and understand it, the identity, or excuse me, the unification of Elokut, Godliness?
Well, it's important for anybody to realize that they do have the ability to tap into an understanding which transcends the limitation of this world in terms of relating to God. I mean, throughout the centuries, any kind of religion has misinterpreted this idea in the sense that you just understand what God is supposed to want from you in terms of do it right or wrong, but you don't create a deep relationship with God. Or people think that suffering, for instance, is the only way to create a relationship with God, through pain and hardship, you know, questioning them and therefore make them realize that there is a God in charge. And that's all, that's completely out of whack. I mean, that's not what it's all about. But since God led us to, you know, did all this for us to have free will, if people want to relate to him this way, so, and this is what's been going on at this, then of course hardship is going to be in a way the, you know, the leader, so to speak, of this you know, energy of relationship with God. And that's why when the second Lubavitcher Rebbe comes, he says the grace, I mean, that God is right there, you know, to enable you to transcend yourself intellectually, emotionally, even spiritually, not necessarily through suffering and pain and hardship and et cetera, et cetera. But as we know, this concept that if somebody do really put himself completely and immerse himself in trying to understand godliness through the proper tools, obviously, it says, it's a promise that God would then would take care and remove all kind of hardship and what we call over the kasha, hard labor from that person. So from the get-go, yeah, you have to let people know that it's possible, and basically they have billions and billions, so to speak, as an example, in a bank account, but, you know, they don't know that, and they're rather, you know, sweat it out, and one day all they have to do is to go and check out how much they have in the bank account. I mean, that's an example, obviously.
Right. And you mentioned something, too, about other religions or religion, you know. This bonanote meditation has really nothing to do with religion. It's about building a relationship between oneself and the Most High, and how one rewires, so to speak, excuse me, is rewiring one's heart and mind. I'd like to elaborate on that.
Well, first of all, the religion comes from a Latin word, means ligare, means to try to unite two opposites. In certain religion, there's two totally opposite, good and evil, Satan and God, and et cetera, et cetera. In Judaism is not like that at all. It's not even should be called a religion, because there's no such a thing as opposite. There's just concealment of the truth. There's not a true opposite to godliness. It's just a concealment to godliness. That because of that concealment, it can bring out a distortion, then that can create in somebody's mind an opposite. Okay, but it's not, so we're not here to unite God with the world and unite God, you know, and destroy the evil to make unification between, you know, the good and reveal just the good. And it's not even, there's even inconsistencies in those beliefs, because it's a uniting, like the Latin word says, but uniting what? If this one side is completely negative and needs to be destroyed, you cannot unite it. So Judaism is basically saying, that there is absolutely no entity except God. There's absolutely nothing that can exist without God's, you know, energy. It's just that God has created a system where we have free will. Now, you said it's to create a relationship with God, but at the same time, that relationship is to enable God himself, so to speak, to reveal himself in his own creation. It's not a normal thing that God has to be constantly hidden in his creation. Now, he doesn't have to reveal himself through Armageddon and World War III and nuclear chaos and whatever, you know, some prophets of evil are predicting recently.
Right.
It's just that there is a distortion that is being playing out, and we are here to correct that distortion and that's really, I'm giving really a very general review. For those who have seen the movie The Matrix, maybe they understand better that there's a bunch of letters flying all over the place. And you have to tap into those letters and put them back in order, and then you'll see that what's been playing out in front of your own eye has been a lie all along.
Right. And the point that came from a Torah perspective, the letters are flying around. I mean, the conduits for directing the energy are not in sync. So everyone's getting distorted perceptions of the energy, and therefore they just buy into anything that will, you know, confuse them and let them live a life of illusion, delusionary perceptions of the world.
Well, absolutely. I mean, it, you know, that reminds me of the famous story of the first emissary of the Lubavitcher Rebbe in the city of Pittsburgh in Pennsylvania, as he's, you know, going around asking the students who is Jewish in order if they want to put on, you know, and tefillin in order to pray. And one kid says, yes, I'm Jewish, but I don't believe in God. And Rabbi Posner, Rabbi Shalom, told him, the God you don't believe in, I don't believe in that God either. You know, because this God that you don't believe in, it's a distortion, it's an illusion, it's a self-delusion, and you have absolutely no clue what you're talking about. And the way God has been projected in the world through, I would say, you know, fanatics of other religions, and the secular, of course, the secular fanatics of the media of today, who wants to be connected to that God? I don't blame people to say, I don't want nothing to do with that God.
Right.
You know, that, right. And we see that the most secular state in the last 100 years, meaning the Nazis, the communists in Russia and in China, I was reading an article the other day that might be responsible for, in terms of 7 years, for the death of 150 million people.
Wow.
You know, that's in China. Mao Zedong may be responsible for the death of 60 million people, and those are secular, non-believer states. So, and when you turn to the other aspect of what is God, you have, you know, we know what's going on in the world right now, and we had the Crusaders, and we have so many religious wars. So it's very hard for people to, you know, define what is God. So some people define according to their own mind what is God, but then it becomes some kind of a picture in the mind, which, as you were talking before, is like it's idol worship, because you're creating it. You don't have a statue, but you're creating an own God. There's no reality to what is God really about.
Right.
And you have others who decide not to believe because, you know, it's too much of a burden. In terms of, you know, if you believe in God, therefore you have to become judgmental, reject other people, become some kind of fanatic, or become very strict, etc., etc. And we know right now, if you look at the world, the most fanatical people in the world besides radical Islam, I would say, are the secular, you know, materialistic, agnostic people. They are the most fanatic. They are really the most brutal. If you ever mention the word God, you might get arrested one day.
Russia. I think it was last year, I was coming home on a train, and my train broke down, and I had to switch to, and the line broke, and I just met some kids, kids in the city, a 15-year-old and a 14-year-old, and they were told me that they took what we normally call the Torah, but in English they call it the Bible, and they were reading on their lunchtime break just some verses, and they were told they had to put it away. I mean, I would understand separating church and state, which is probably one of the most distorted
most people have a distorted understanding because, you know, the Lubavitcher Rebbe talked about that, you know, people didn't learn what that really means, so therefore they just come up with their own imagination, and to the point where, like, you know, boys, instead of, you know, smoking cigarettes or doing mischief, when they're just looking to the scripture and they're getting told they have to put the book away. I mean, that's fanaticism, if you ask me.
It is. It is. The most so-called open-minded people, as the, you know, materialistic-oriented, agnostic seculars, are really, they feel very threatened because, listen, it's innate. It's part of every human being that it's impossible that this just whole thing just happened through, you know, Big Bang Theory, a monkey suddenly coming down of a tree, according to Darwin, or, you know, it's got to be more to it. And everybody realizes that even science now talks about, you know, stress being the number one killer responsible for most of the disease, and stress is is definitely connected to emotion and intellect, and all this is connected to such a thing called the soul. So
right.
You have secular scientists who talk to you about the soul. Now, they don't want to connect it to God, because then that means that, you know, that means that everything has to be learned much more in depth and understood much more in depth. And as the first Lubavitcher Rebbe brings down in his, his masterpiece called Tanya, the nature of man in this earth is to try to overrule and dominate other men. And to submit yourself to God means that normally he should bring you the ultimate freedom, where you don't have to be ruled and be dominated by another man, in any kind of religion, including Judaism.
Right. Yeah, yeah. Let's go back to the Shabbat, to the Rebbe David, where he mentions again that the Most High has graced everyone to perceive and understand into the unification of godliness in the upper level unity and the lower level unity, as it relates to the verse, I think it's in Deuteronomy chapter 6, where it says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one." And then we, as was established by the sage of Israel, then we say, "Blessed is the glory of his kingdom forever." Where are we going with this to understand upper level unity and lower level unity, and why is that connected to this verse in Deuteronomy, and then talking about blessing the kingship of the Most High forever?
Well, the real trick is to understand, especially relating to the service of God, regarding Judaism, it's really to understand the unification of God, meaning that we say that three times a day in a prayer, "Listen, of Israel, Eternal, Eternal is one. Hashem Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, our God is Hashem Echad, is one." One, we bypass the very shallow, superficial explanation that there is one God and not two. It's much more deeper than that. First of all, even if somebody say, "Well, you know, yeah, it makes sense. There's one God, there's not two." If you break down his life in details, in everyday to day life, he has many gods: TV,
right,
the banks, Wall Street, the government, his own, you know, personal and egotistical agenda. Those are all kind of different kind of idol worship that we have today. So, you know, because the principle, as Hasidus Chabad explains, the principle of idol worshiping is really coming out of the ego of a person.
Mm-hmm.
So that is not good enough to say it's just one God and not two. But more than that, it means to understand the unification of God, meaning that our God is, this world doesn't create some kind of gap or disconnection with, you know, disconnection with God. That God is completely immersed in this world as much as the soul is immersed in the body, or as much as the inner organ of the body enabling the outside of the body, meaning the legs, the, you know, the skin, the eyes, everything to function, for everything to function properly. And it's the same thing for this world. So the problem is that you're telling me there is one God and only God, and I look around and I see tables, chairs. So now there's a God, there's a chair, there's a TV, there's people, there's many separated entities from God, and we're saying, no, it's not like that. It's all united to God. It's God who's giving them energy, but at the same time, it doesn't take away from them their own independence and free will. So that's where the fascinating question comes, and that's why you need meditation, as you say, which is an intense, deep analysis. How does it do it? Mm-hmm. Okay, so that's really what the unification is means. What is it about? As long as there's no understanding of this is unification, there's just a sheer belief. You know the famous story of Rabbi Levi Yitzchak Berdichev of the city of Berdichev in Ukraine. He went to learn for many years by the Maggid of Mezrich, who took over the Hasidic movement after the Baal Shem Tov. And when he came back to his wife, which was staying by her family, his father-in-law was not really the big, I would say, to say the least, the big lover of the Hasidic movement. I asked him, so all those years, what did you learn over there? Well, he said, I learned there is a God in the world. So the father-in-law almost, you know, choked to death. He was like, you know, stopped coughing. He couldn't stop. He said, are you kidding me? Anybody knows that? So he called the maid, and he says, even the maid knows that. And he asked the maid, is there a God in the world? And she says, of course. So I believe Yitzchak said, she's saying it, I know it. And that makes a world of difference, because he's saying the same thing she's saying. There is a God in the world. They're both saying the same thing. But one is totally on a superficial aspect, which means there is a God, but it doesn't really relate to my reality, to say the least. On the other hand, the other one is an ultimate insider, where he knows there is a God in the world, and he knows exactly how it works. And the gap between those two is so huge that even though they're saying the same thing, I don't even have an example. The gap between those two. And the point is, like Rabbi Yitzchak Berdichev, is the more you get the knowledge of God, the more humble you come. You don't come and start explaining deep, complicated, you know, very complicated things in order to prove that God exists. You just say God exists. Of course, then you have to go by and explain how it works, and that's why we have the teaching of the Lubavitch, the Rebbeim of Chabad. They're the only one who really put it down as a, you know, clear intellectual approach and explanation for anybody and everybody to relate to this, wherever they are, wherever they're holding.
Bill, we're coming down the last 6 minutes. Let's go to the next part of the Shara Balatva, the basically the first page. We mentioned each and every person, according to the understanding of his heart and his knowledge of the Most High, should help him or her, really. So wait, understanding of the heart? I thought the heart was the seabed of the emotions. Where is it really coming off to tell us that we should have understanding within our heart? Could you please elaborate?
Well, this is what Hasidus Chabad is going to do. Hasidus Chabad is something that's warning you through that kind of statement that you cannot take things on a very superficial, you know, approach. Because you're right, and according to certain logic, you don't do this analysis with the heart, you do with the brain. So how is the heart involved? You know, many times in movies they say to you, oh, don't think with your brain, think with your heart. It's all very nice and dandy, but usually when that happens, you know it's the end of the movie, and we don't know what happens the next day. Because thinking emotionally constantly turns a person into an hysterical maniac. What we're saying is like this. We're saying, look, even the most intellectual exercise, the deepest analysis in detail that requires for the intellect to be at peace, in a state of mind of peace, to be able to do that, this analysis, this comes from the inner aspect of your heart. You see, he's always throwing a question in the air for us not to try, and that's human nature, right away to answer. Wow, so okay, now I'm going to do an analysis with my heart. Wrong. You don't do an analysis with your heart. If everybody would do an analysis in their heart, we wouldn't have cellular phone, cars, airplane, and et cetera. So it does it on purpose. It's what Chassid does. Throws in those statements to, you know, like make us raise an eyebrow, what's going on here? And, you know, now I'm going way ahead of what he's talking about, but that the exercise of deeply trying to understand something in depth come really from the depth of the heart, which is becoming a motivator an inner energy for the brain to do this analysis. We're going to see later on all this in details how it works. But this, what we call this essential point of the soul, what we call the inner heart of the soul, is the motivator. Because when you truly want to understand someone, when we truly want to connect to someone and to relate to someone, it has to go through a deep understanding, intellectual understanding of who is that person, and not a superficial, you know, understanding. But it's been motivated by your deepest, the deepest point in our heart, which is totally connected to the essence, not just our soul, but the essence aspect of our soul, meaning the part of our soul that's constantly connected to God.
Yeah, that was a beautiful response. I'd like to thank you for your time. We're down about 2 minutes, so I'm going to end the show on this, just a little bit of music so people can segue out and think about what we talked about, and hopefully join us next week around this time from part three. We just had part two today of Hebrew Israelite Meditations, it's Bominot, how to develop and reveal the innate connection every human has, every human being has, through their Tzelem Elokim, their divine image, through the process, the vessel, which is one of the foundations of the Torah, which is called Bominot Meditation. Thank you, David, for joining us tonight, and blessed soul.
You're welcome.
Let's all continue and meditate on only good things, which means the ultimate universal redemption, every human being, and this planet, every fiber of creation. Take care, everyone.
Amen.
By Mordechai Ben David. Here I am to serve you most high.
Brother.